Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge Kitchen and Bath Showroom.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go!
There we go. Sometimes they tell me to do it now. Sometimes they tell me to do it after the...
Can't be too predictable with
the
that.
The three, the two, and the one.
You want to surprise people a little bit.
All right, but today we did it right here.
Number 5.
Grammy Award winner and Chicago native Chance the Rapper donated $1 million.
Huge.
For arts and enrichment in Chicago public schools today. He says he knows from personal experience how crucial it is to do his part. He's been frustrated and disappointed, those are his words, by the governor's inaction in helping the cash trap school district.
As an artist and an after-school teacher, I know the arts are essential. They teach students invaluable lessons like practice makes perfect. That small differences can have large effects. And that collaboration leads to creativity.
What a huge donation. $1 million to CPS. I guess he's going to give initially $10,000 to 10 schools and then move forward from there. And he's urging the business community to match his donations, to try to increase even more the impact of what he's trying to do here. Put his money where his mouth is, in a big way.
You think Kim Kardashian right now is saying, Kanye, why can't you be more like Chance the Rapper?
Where's Kanye on this?
Don't you think Chance the Rapper is, that press conference is very impressive today. Because in a very distinct and very clear manner, was able to explain why he differs on this and what he wishes to do to change it. And it was I've seen few politicians mm-hmm. articulate their position as well as Chance just did.
Well, that
not just that. Okay. If you watch the whole thing tonight, you got to watch it. It's very impressive.
It is. It's extremely impressive, and that's certainly the kind of money that can make a difference.
Yeah. So good for him.
For a lot of schools, yes.
Very
Thank
hard.
You to Chance.
Checking in it.
Number 4.
All right. Now the White House is asking Congress to investigate whether or not the Trump Tower in New York was wiretapped.
Gosh.
I think it'd be more interesting to wiretap the one here, if you know what I mean, but that's a separate issue. During the election, the president took to Twitter. That was during the election, of course. Now, the president took to Twitter on Saturday, as you know, mm-hmm. accusing the former president of tapping his phones and then misspelling tap. Today, White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer did not go before the cameras. He did an off-camera briefing today. And it was recorded, though, for audio purposes. I think that's great for radio, but I don't understand what's going on there. Why he didn't want to go on camera, because I guess he didn't take a ton of questions.
No. It seems like there's just a lot of explosive things that developed this weekend, and probably is going to be a very hot news conference.
He says that Congress is the appropriate place for this to be looked into, and says that if we have a problem with one of the conclusions, we'll let it be known. That sounds like a threat.
There's no question that something happened. The question is it surveillance? Is it a wiretap or whatever? But there's been enough reporting that strongly suggests that something occurred. And I think that that's why what he has said yesterday is that he wants Congress to look into this. I think we definitely will have a lot of respect for what they do and what they look into. But I think to blanketly accept, just say we're going to accept anything they say or do, might be a bit premature and not exactly the way to go.
That's all you get right
these
now.
These poor SOBs and anybody in that administration right now is the hardest working person in the history of politics in America because the president is just, you know, out of the wide ranging ADD mind of Donald Trump come these very many things, and he can see anything he can see, and people know. I mean, politicians get that whether it's MSNBC or Breitbart or any of the highly agended and angled news operations in America, mm-hmm. the opinion news operations, talk show hosts, the conservative media, liberal media, any of those things, they know, politicians know, that those are just designed to whip up bases, and that they, that often the stories are angled in such a way that, that they've cut corners on facts. And it's not a, it is certainly not a place from which one should be making or deriving policy. It is designed to move a group of people for political purposes, not necessarily adhere to the basic facts. That's clear. Steve Bannon should just explain that to Donald Trump. You can't believe everything you read on Breitbart, and I don't make policy based on it. Certainly don't go running off the reservation on it, because in this particular case, it's going to shed more light on the Russian situation. Because if they do investigate it, and there was a FISA court warrant for October, they're going to find out why the FISA court okayed the warrant. And that's, that will probably not benefit the Trump administration when that is disclosed.
Right. There'd have to be strong evidence in order to grant that kind of a thing, to listen and wiretap or establish some kind of an overhear on communications. It was interesting, though, because that was the question that was asked of all the Trump surrogates over the last 24 hours and beyond. Did the president learn of this from news media reports, such as the Breitbart report? New York Times had something that didn't mention wiretapping in quite that way. BBC and Fox News all had something. Was it from there? And the surrogate's answer was, well, he has a lot of options for information and access to information that we don't have. It's sort of a we don't know sidestepping. Is that where he got it? Or is there some other evidence that we don't know about? We don't know.
If he has the evidence, he can just drop it right now.
Could.
That'd be a good thing to do. Instead of saying, oh, we're going to leave it up to Congress. Because Congress is like, whoa, whoa, we're trying to do health care over here.
We've got a lot going on over here. Stop dumping stuff in our lap.
And they just released, by the way, the health care, text of the health care bill. We're going to talk about that in just a couple of seconds. But let me just continue on with this. This is National Intelligence Director James Clapper, who says that this whole thing is cray, 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 cray.
That's not how it's done. It has to be done through a court. And he would not. And certainly during the 6.5 years that I was DNI, neither he nor anyone else in the White House ever asked for any sort of this surveillance such as this.
Right, that's Clapper saying he doesn't have any, he's not aware of anything like this happening.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll get to your 3-year 2-in-1. But first, Violetta Pottermanic, WGN Turf Trouble Spots. Top 5 of 5 continues right here on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis, checking in at
number 3.
It has been nearly 8 years since Prince Michael Jackson and his siblings lost their father. Their father was just their dad, he says of himself and his siblings. But then he told Robin Roberts today on ABC when he realized when his father really was the king of pop.
I guess when we kind of realized it was when we saw videos of him performing. We were out of the country at the time. We were watching some videos of his performances. And I've been used to seeing most females pass out when they see their artists. And they get, you know, they get very emotional. But what blew my mind was when I saw these big muscle-bound dudes fainting and having to be dragged out.
Just being in his presence would cause people to do that. Imagine watching the videos to learn about your dad and what a powerful presence and force he was in the world of music.
Yeah. Yes, indeed it was. Checking in at, don't tell me, I know the answer to this.
It's,
the problem is the computer doesn't seem to know the answer to it. No, I know the
one,
answer. No, it would be
number 2.
There you go. Saturday Night Live returned this weekend with a Forrest Gump themed cold open in which Kate McKinnon played Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Now, also, she appeared as Kellyanne Conway, too, in bumper shots, you know, the shots in between commercials of her sitting on the set, curled up.
Just
like
kind of in random places.
Kellyanne Conway.
Right. Other things were going on.
To kneel on the couch. This is the Forrest Gump bit, though. Actually, what's really weird, I was listening to Jeff Sessions today at the rollout of the new travel ban.
Sure.
Press conference, and I was just floored by how close Kate McKinnon got to Jeff Sessions' voice.
It's kind of like this Melissa McCarthy and the Spicer thing. You can't get it out of your head because they're so similar.
This is my best good friend, Kellyanne. She ain't got no legs. I ain't got no legs, Kellyanne. We're about as close as peas and carrots. She's the best talker you ever heard. They say she could sell stink to a skunk. But they don't let her talk anymore.
You saw it. You said it was great, right?
It was pretty. It was pretty smart. In what was an otherwise really underwhelming and actually quasi crappy Saturday Night Live. Yeah,
really?
Yeah. A lot of stuff didn't work. They did do what I thought was a really interesting one of the fake commercials about a movie premiering of the person who saved the Republican who stepped up to save the Union. And they would, and as soon as they would get close to showing who that person was, they'd have a cold voiceover go, TBD, like to be determined.
And it, did it run throughout the episode?
Or no, it was just one of those one commercial. It's actually pretty smart and interesting, and mm-hmm. and it went and I'm told that there were a lot of people in Washington who were chatting about it on Sunday. Republicans specifically, who are going to be talking to each other, like, "Hey, you want to be the guy? Who wants to be the guy?
You? Who?
You want to be the one that steps up?" All right, and finally,
number one,
Robert Osborne, a film expert who shared his knowledge and passion for all things cinema with millions of viewers and longtime host of Turner Classic Movies, has died. He went on the air in April of 1994 when TCM took to the air. He's a Washington native, moved to Hollywood to pursue a career in acting. Once mentored by Lucille Ball, Osborne was also known for writing several books on the history of film and the Academy Awards, in addition to his duties as TCM's primary host.
Come in. Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt, Mr. Drysdale.
All right, Taylor. Well, are we all set to give the Clappetts a red carpet reception?
Well, I'm afraid Mrs. Drysdale still isn't too happy, sir.
Yes, I know. Oh, my wife is very upset that I got the estate next to ours for the Clappetts. Says I don't even know what kind of people they are.
Do you?
I know to the dollar what kind of people they are. They're my kind of people. Loaded.
There he is. That's Robert Osborne as an actor.
How about that?
On the Beverly Hillbillies.
Amazing work he did in his lifetime.
On the pilot. And if you're a TCM fan, I'm a TCM
mm-hmm,
fan.
So
if you watch it, I mean, he was one of those guys that when you watched him, you just felt comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he was awkward as a host in some respects.
He exuded warmth, though.
Yes, he did.
Smile and just the way about him.
I had the great honor to meet him twice.
Oh.
And he he met him with Mary Martin and with Eva Marie Saint on separate occasions when they were in town to do things for TCM. And he's a very special. TCM is a very special television network for people who love movies and old movies and enjoy the looking at the 20th century and through cinema, and he was the guy that basically designed that. And obviously, he's been missing. For those who are fans of that network, know he's been missing for a long time, for a number of months now, from that. And he had been battling health problems before, and certainly did seem rather frail when he returned from his last battle with health issues. But today, it was announced that he died at the age of 84.
The top five at five.